All right, so I'm going to... Greg's unable to join us today, so I'm just going to call us to order. Are there any other things we'd like to add to the agenda before we get started? Eric?
I just need trying to head start. We need a volunteer for the next EA update.
Okay.
The message, which is slated for on or around March 30th.
Great. So, again... They've been well received. Thanks to everyone that's contributed them. It's good to get our voices out there. So start thinking about if you'd like to participate. Hazel?
I would like to add cell phone policy and mileage reductions.
Okay. Let me just add that to new business then. Okay. I'll add that on there under new business, but we'll see where time goes. Just again.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. Anything else to add on there? Great. So somewhat full today, but has everyone got a chance to look over the minutes? If anyone wants to make a motion to approve minutes?
I move to approve.
Is there a second? All those in favor? Or sorry, anyone opposed? All right, we'll just approve by unanimous consent there. Minutes are approved. And we can start moving on to business of the day. So the first item we have a guest, Catherine Patrick Carroll. I don't know, Tanya, if you'd like to introduce how this came forward to us, and then we can...
Sure. So, Bridget and I and David and Gina were serving soup at Secret Hope, which I would just say was... really nicely attended, and I would encourage you to make sure that we have that on the EA slate for every single month. And Catherine came up with a concern that she and other folks on campus had regarding the name of the plantations and asked if she could come in and talk to the EA. And she has joined us today, and
yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Jump in and intro yourself a little more.
Okay. Thanks, Tanya. And Bridget, too, both of them talked to me at Soup and Hope. I've been here at the university for 9.5 years, and mental health promotion coordinator is what I do, for those of you who I don't know and who don't know me, and have heard people, colleagues, talking over this period of time, particularly the people of color, staff and faculty of color, and we've all kind of had this conversation around what is up with the name of the plantations. How could, in the 21st century, an Ivy League institution, especially this one, which touts its the fact that it owns the Emancipation, a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation, how could we still have a place on our campus called the Plantations? Now, and like it kind of like, you know, what's up with that? Additionally, in talking with colleagues who work in the undergraduate colleges and who do things like diversity hosting weekend and work with students and their parents, particularly students of color, but not just students of color, there are plenty of other folks who have said, what is up with that name? And but for parents who, especially like first year students of color or not, parents are sometimes asking my colleagues who are in the colleges, will my student be safe here when there's a place on your campus called the Plantations? I mean, it might sound bizarre, but as an African-American person, I can tell you that the first time I learned that there was a place like that, it made me think of lynching. Now, you might go, well, I've never thought of that. I've never thought about the impact of this word. That's okay. You may not have, but now you do. Now you're aware. And it is actually a term that is offensive to a segment of our campus population, our population in the U.S., and people across the world. And when this sesquicentennial celebration was first being talked about, I did bring this up to people in marketing, in university marketing, and was really told, you know, we've already got a plan in place, kind of thing. We have talked about this in the diversity community meeting ad nauseum, but it goes nowhere. We've asked about what, you know, why can it go nowhere? And I've received various answers from various senior administrators at this university, anywhere from it's going to cost too much money to change the signs and the logos on the marketing material, the mugs and the bumper stickers and things like that in the store. That's very insulting that it costs too much money to change the name. Like, I'm not worth it, and a segment of our campus population is not worth whatever money that was. I understand money is a real thing, but that's really insulting. I've also been told, it's not going to change, just get over it. It's just a word. Why are you making such a big deal of it? And if you don't know, that is a really heavy microaggression right there, to be told like your feelings about something are wrong. So, and then I heard that there was a change to the logo and the signs for the plantations for the sesquicentennial specifically. That is very disturbing, and that's what's pushed me to this point of saying, you know, I feel I need to speak up. And because you guys are the employee assembly, I felt like I needed to just bring this here because you are my representative. I think of you as I can come here and you can hear my voice. And you can help me understand what, you know, what could possibly be done, what next steps we might take, and, you know, together. So I am very happy to be very involved in this, bringing this to, I don't know, the president, who I know we're getting a new president, and all that. So that's why I'm here. And I know that we need to get students involved as well, because I know administration listens to students more and all that. But you know what? I'm here. I'm a through line for every student who comes through here. I'm here longer than 4 years. And so are my colleagues. And I think that our voice needs to be heard as well. So that's why I'm here.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you for that introduction. We'll open for speakers' comments, anything like that.
Well, first of all, I would just like to thank you for bringing this to our attention. And immediately, as you said that, that was my first response. Like, wow, I'm surprised I never picked up on that before, but I can certainly understand and not question at all why that is such a negative contribution to what is a wonderful asset to the university.
Yes.
My one question is, has anybody come up with a suggested name change? Not that it's...
A.G. Miller's come up with some different ones, but yeah. He has said that basically it's fallen on deaf ears. So the other people who have been in the diversity community meetings with me can attest to that.
I think one of the things that was said about the names was Plantations Incorporates... Because I think one of the suggestions was, what do you call it, like the Plantations or the Botanical Gardens or something like that. But apparently Plantations incorporates all of the things that are there because it's not just a botanical garden and just an arboretum with an
arboretum.
That one. I don't do nature, so I'm like, that's not a thing. So I think that was one of the things that was said, which again is a bit insulting, that you can't find it anywhere. So.
Yeah.
But it has. We've definitely discussed in the diversity community meeting like a number of times. I think the sign thing was absolutely the most insulting because I remember at the same time that answer was said, 626. If you go look out there, they put paper and tape over their sign, and some give them like a proper sign. So it's like, well, let's reflect on that for a second. The cost of signs is such that you can at least put in the effort to put some paper and a tape banner over the name of 626 in order to make it something else. So I don't know.
And with the sesquicentennial, I'm sorry, but the marketing people lost out on a huge opportunity to garner goodwill on this campus, in the Ithaca community, in Chatham County, and in higher ed. If we had said we recognize it's our 150th anniversary of our university, and it's 150 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, since the end of slavery, and we recognize we have a name of something on our campus that connotes slavery, and we are going to change that? Oh, my gosh. Cornell would have gotten such great press. I ran a small business for 16 years. I don't purport to be, like, a huge marketing expert, but even I know that. If that's that would have been the only way to get this through. But for me, it's more about how it's dismissive of the segment of the population who's here on our campus.
So have you talked to Tracy Foster?
I have talked with Diane Kubarek. I have talked with Leslie York. I have not talked with Tracy Foster.
She had a new face and a new, very, she's exceptional. She was in Geneva for a long time. Try going to see Robert. Start reading, revisit that type of thing. She may have, we would talk to her on that. She may be open to that. I'm sure she would be.
Who's the contact person for that?
Rhoda Model, I think.
Yeah, her write-up was just in there talking about taking off the plantation.
Does she have the power to change the name?
She probably doesn't, but she's a face to start.
I'm sorry, I came in late to the conversation. Did you already speak with the director of the plantation?
I have not spoken with her. I've been in group interviews with people from the plantations and brought this topic up. And, you know, I brought it to Susan Murphy as my VP in Student Academic Services. I've talked with Laura Brown as the Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education. I've talked with Kent Hubble as the Dean of Students. Okay, maybe I'm not going high enough up, but why is it? These people are run this place. And, I'm saying this is an issue. For me as an employee, we look at, the Hurtado Report, when we talk about how is it that we affect climate change on our campus, I'm not trying to make anybody wrong here or say anybody's racist. I'm saying having that name is, in fact, racist. I'm not saying anybody here is saying, oh, I want that. Oh, I think we have, But it's just that, I can't personally ignore that.
Yeah, but I've heard this before, and every time I end up using it, there's a weird little 30 some years of video. But I'm thinking that, what would be the most effective way to move forward with this, because it would seem to me that the biggest hurdle is actually the alumni.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, so. And I was going to ask, I don't think the plantations have any alumni name tied to it, no donor name.
And if you might get one tied to it if you change it and make it much more inclusive.
Well, what I'm wondering is the whole cost barrier. If they're saying that cost is the barrier, then is there a donor out there who may be looking for a naming opportunity, and we rename it? I mean, the Schwartz Center used to be the Center for Performing Arts until Dick Schwartz came in and it became the Schwartz Center.
There's a number of buildings that changed because the money didn't come through, too.
But the money came through to make new-looking signs for the sesquicentennial.
Yeah. I saw Gina's hand.
Again, I apologize for being late to the conversation, and forgive me if this has already been suggested. If you're looking for ways to move this conversation forward, I would suggest a resolution from this body right away. And if you need to partner with somebody, a seated assembly member, to help sponsor it, I could be helped to help draft it. But I think that immediately elevates it to the way the conversation that needs to be had.
I think a little bit what Catherine and I and Bridget had talked about at Stupid Hope was, if you put something forth in this body, it would, I think, be especially useful for her to also go to the student assembly and see if they can also put forth a resolution, because I think the two of us tied nicely together would make a cohesive statement rather than it's just us or it's just them.
Right.
I can also, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say other hands, but yeah.
It's also going to encourage, the UA to. People like to use the essay kind of as a scapegoat for everything recently, and it's, I think that's what you're doing, but it's sometimes you gotta I think the UA also has a bit more authority in that in that arena. Their jurisdiction extends that far, I think. So Gina could correct that. I think they're a bit closer. I think the essay definitely helps to actually get the momentum and the movement going for sure. But the UA, I think, in terms of jurisdiction, probably is the better assembly for.
I think it's funny. speak out of turn. It's as much jurisdiction as it is elevating conversation.
Yeah.
So drawing in the purviews are different for the local assemblies versus the UA. So having the employees say, this is important to us, and having the student body say, this is important to us, there's understandings. And then the UA wants to get involved and say, how do we change a policy or, you know, broaden the conversation. It's coming at it from different ways. So I think they're all very, very important ways to go about this.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
So I can definitely connect with the SA and because I know students who are in the SA and talk with them. And then should I try to talk with people on the UA, or should I wait and try to work here with the resolution? And then does the resolution actually go to the University Assembly? Is that where it goes from here?
So,
or does it go to the President?
Yeah, so any assembly that, or any resolution that leaves this assembly goes directly to the President.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Right, and so what I might suggest to you procedurally is if there's a resolution out of the employee assembly,
mm-hmm.
that Greg or BJ, who attend the UA on behalf of the employees, perhaps invite you to make, you know, we've just submitted this to the President, we'd like to reach out to you and get support, but that they're two very moving in parallel fashion for different end results. Again, the purviews of the different assemblies are unique.
Okay.
Other thoughts at all?
One more thing, and I'll shut up. There are alumni affairs coming out back in the day. There is a quite a hefty slate of donors to the plantations. A couple of them, somebody had a park in there named after them, if I'm correct. But yeah,
the Wildflower Garden.
Exactly. So there. Say what now?
I think the Wildflower Garden.
Yeah.
Something.
Stuart.
Mundy's.
Can't remember. I know there's like a slate of them, and some of them are pretty hefty donors.
Yeah.
So it might be worth it to kind of see. This is kind of like circumventing things, and they don't really like that. But like, it might be worth it to figure out a way to kind of reach out to them, as well as engage some of the affinity alumni groups like SIBA. Might be a good place to start. They have some projects that they were looking at like this, so that might be some like a group to reach out to,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get them on board. Like alumni actually do have a lot of authority in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Any other thoughts? Great. So lots of things. We have your contact information, so
mm-hmm.
I'll distribute that to the assembly members as well to help find someone to pair with you, and then also working, as Gina mentioned, please work with their office as well to partner with the UA to get contact with SA, and then I would love to see a resolution as well, too. I mean, that's what this body is for, is making direct statements to the President of the African employees. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
So someone will contact you?
I will.
You will. Okay, great.
That's straight from my mouth into the recorder.
Okay. Can I just ask one question? Gina, I don't really know you, and I'm sorry, where do you work?
I'm running the Office of the Assembly.
You run the Office of the Assembly. Okay. I've probably seen your name, but okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, everyone. So next on our agenda here for business today is our transportation meeting. We've got guests confirmed for March 18th. The director of Cornell Transportation, Richard Frady, and then also the reason why I selected this day, we were able to get someone from TCAT, the board itself. So they're, I believe it's the acting general manager, Alice Eccleston. So we'll eventually do a separate EA update, just kind of a standalone piece for that meeting as well, just kind of announcing that. Currently we have this room slated. As we talked about at the last meeting, it would be great to see a full room rather than us trying to, you know, fill up Bailey and see empty seats. So we're here at the moment. But again, as mentioned to staff members, the email comments, I know some folks have already uploaded them to the transportation folder on Box. We'll also send out a personalized message to those folks that did contact us, inviting them to this meeting as well. I had 10 minutes, but were there any questions about the transportation meeting, Curtis?
I was just going to ask, in order to make the conversation more fruitful, is it possible that we can add each of these bodies to like have a one-page summary about, I mean, what they do, kind of? Because I just feel like I just don't want the meeting to become just them correcting misinformation,
yep,
but actually move it toward a more constructive dialogue.
So just to clarify, but correct me if I come off as incorrect. So we're looking for paragraphs like, Cornell Transportation does X, Y, and Z. This is what Brady is purview, or Bridget Brady's purview is. TCAT has X, Y, and Z, and just kind of help clarify those things.
Yeah, I think that would be clarified. I think maybe even with TCAT, I just know there's going to probably be a lot of questions about, like, the funding of TCAT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is TCAT really funded?
And now, Transportation, how much are they in charge of TCAT, or are they independent? And the Transportation, I know, covers a lot of parking and all that other stuff, and roads, too, so...
I think another thing that would be helpful to have from them is kind of a decision-making tree, like how, when there are things like changes to bus routes that are, you know, campus, more campus routes, where does, you know, TCAT stop and where does Cornell start and where they intertwine. So that we can see where, so I think to me that's helpful to see where we should be saying we need to insert ourselves into that process.
Sure. I will say, we'll try and get some of this information, but I hope everyone also understands sometimes they might not be willing to release that right out of as a release, that kind of thing as well, too. They might just want to be able to say that in the meeting, but I appreciate that. Gina?
I have two quick thoughts. One is, One was, I know we had discussed using this space, and just because we had another email that came in and letter forwarded yesterday, I think there's another engagement opportunity here. It doesn't have to be a big space. It doesn't even have to be a much bigger space. But to invite people intentionally and say, we're going to have pizza, we're going to have this conversation, and we need to be here, and really engage people. I think I haven't been here that long. I've been here almost 9 years. But this is one topic, one event that precipitated a lot of response. And it may be about TCAT bus changes, but it's also an opportunity for this body to really rip your name tags and shake your voice and say, we're here to listen to you. Hazel and Marie have gotten, you know, as we're doing these sort of profiles in the EA newsletter, it's been elevated to a part of the conversation that is really great to hear. And I would hate to miss an opportunity, not to take advantage of it and in any way sort of redirect the energy about the topic, but if you make it, they will come.
So going off of that, I mean, are there other rooms? So I'm thinking about a little bit bigger than this, but not necessarily Bailey, but do folks know rooms? I'm thinking maybe downstairs. I know there's a lecture hall right downstairs that seats roughly like 100. It's a little bit bigger than this, but at least there's more space in there.
No, it's in bio. G10
bio.
Biotech.
Yeah, biotech.
It's probably your best close campus location that fits a decent amount of people.
And that doesn't seem, even if you only have 50,
it doesn't
seem
exactly.
Especially if your piece of table is close.
You really got that pizza thing going on.
Gina, I'm not sure. Would you like pizza at this
point? Eric suggested more people would come for this beer.
We're about here for a free day off. Lottery.
So, okay, we'll look at maybe using a little bit bigger room as well, too. I like that suggestion. I will.
One thing I've noticed with the reduction of 81, the couple times that I have had to drive onto campus and park out at ALOC, the 82s are so packed that by the time they get down to Day Hall, there's like no more room on the bus for anybody to get on. Because they're so packed.
Sure.
Even with running that every 10 minutes now, which I foresee being a problem.
I think that's a...
Can I... Oh, I'm going to go to Gina and then Bridget.
Sorry, I remembered my random thought. last week, actually, there was... I happened across it very randomly through the student assembly, a TCAT open forum. And so I emailed our contacts on the TCAT board, and I said, you don't know what this is. It wasn't Bridget and her staff. The student assembly had reached out directly to TCAT, and they had several people on one of the committees that actually, for a time, their question made this decision. And they actually the theme. They brought pizzas to me.
That's the theme.
But they invited the students to come, and it wasn't an essay meeting. It was one of the committees of the essay. And they had, I had a conflicting meeting, so I don't know actually what was said, but this is good at least to know that, and I'll try and get a report back on that, but think broadly on this topic. And I think Tanya's question is probably a great one, too. Even if they can't get a tree, who do we talk to? Who's the right person? Mm-hmm. And try to get some at the end of the meeting, at least maybe we could create our own tree.
Great. Thank you, Gina. Bridget?
I'm just adding to Bridget's comment about the overcrowding on the bus, and I think that's just, was that at the end of the day? And I know there was definitely end of the day.
It was 3:30.
But there has been, and continues, I think it's been going on for quite a long time, that 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock time period is really hard to get on the bus sometimes.
Great. I would like to send a few questions just kind of to start the whole conversation at this meeting. But again, as we think of questions and things to bring up at the meeting, please try and bring them as broad as possible. So questions like this, where it's who does the decision making? You know, we see things like overcrowding on the routes. How do we, you know, relay that information to folks who can adjust routes and adjust those things? But think about what you're experiencing, what you're hearing from folks, and help us bring it to kind of the next level on that sense too.
And then an additional question was, last year, when they were talking about the budgets and everything, they were talking about upgrading some kind of system to upgrade, to let people know how the buses were and what schedule they were on and if they were running on schedule or not. And that was a grant that they received, and I was just curious to know if any additional work has been done on that.
I think it was an app or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, an app would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love an app.
The
day you
choose,
on its way.
Go outside now.
Right.
That would make sense.
But I'm sure the data is going to go over that. It's already a year.
Yeah. Any other thoughts with the transportation meeting? But I think these are all good ideas, and we can kind of get another good thing in there. Bridget?
Wasn't there one other one that somebody had asked about funding for first year students in that?
In terms of
whether that's going to be ongoing,
so I
if that was improved or not, I remember talking
about
that.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Yeah, I think that was yes, but kind of not a firm sentence. All right, let's move on to old business here. The George Peter Award and the Appreciation Event.
Sure. So very quickly, the Staff Appreciation Awards Committee met. I won't say the names because we're on tape, and honestly, I don't remember them off the top of my head. We decided to award to 3 employees. We had a lot of great discussion back and forth, and about how we determine what work counts, what work doesn't count, and we found that there are a few questions that we continually bring up. So the committee will look to meet and to kind of redefine or tighten up the expectations of what we're looking for in a George Peter Award winner, which we think will help us come to easier decisions for the committee, picking this employee over that employee. So more to come on that as the semester moves forward. But within the conversation, too, we talked about how the George Peter Award is done. Right now, when we have someone who wins the award, we go out to their unit, so we work with their unit, which is typically who nominates them, and we say, okay, so-and-so has won the award. This is what we provide. So we provide a cake, and we provide some prizes, gifts and things for the employee. We work to get married there. So it's an opportunity for us to kind of go into that unit. And then the units, their events vary. We've had events where they've booked the memorial room and done a large luncheon, catered luncheon. We've had groups that have done veggie and fruit and cheese platter. We had one group that they pies or something.
We have alcohol and everything.
Yeah, so they very grateful. But we provide the same thing every event.
And Gina brought up the notion of, you know, why do we do them in the units and why don't we do them at an EA function, similar to how we present the assembly appreciation award, or, you know, how we would propose to do the Aquaman award at the panel this spring. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that, and I wanted to open it up to this group to say, you know, in one hand, personally, my personal opinion, I like the notion of announcing who wins the awards. They may have already received their awards, but announcing them at the events to increase the visibility of the awards itself. But I like the feeling of going into that unit, first of all, because we're going to the employee, they're inviting their family. We're seeing people who we wouldn't normally see who may not come to an event on campus, and it's really about that person. Mm-hmm. I think if we try to blend it into one of our events, it's not about that person. It becomes, you know,
the event.
It becomes the event, and we either have to make the event longer, or we're just mentioning them and they're getting, you know, 3 seconds or 5 seconds, whatever it is, to talk. So I wanted to kind of bring it to the group to see, it should we move away from the EA being involved in something that they do in their office, or and let them kind of do their own thing, or and move to just announcing them, or should we do a hybrid of both, or what do folks think?
If I could just clarify, it's less to have it be one or the other, but to make the announcement to actually the George Peter Award winner is whoever it is at one of the big events. And then again, as I said, whatever local parties or cheese platters or quiches happen, certainly have all that. But that the employee assembly is giving the award, and it would enhance the visibility of the employee as a body, and really I think elevate the George Peter Award as you know that this is everybody would be there.
So we do give the award. I mean, the chair of the EA presents the award to the employee.
No, I'm talking about at one of our big events.
Just announce it. Yeah. But still give the award at
the right. I would do
yep, let me just clarify, because Hazel had her hand out there. I just want to recognize Hazel before everyone jumps in. So please help me with the speakers. Let's see.
George liked the idea of the EA going to the separate units because it made the EA aware of the separate units, made the EA understand what the separate units did, and also the employee felt recognized by their own unit, not as the university as a whole, but like if I work with you every day, I realize that you really appreciate me. You know, I know people in the room do, but you really do. And, you know, he got a big kick out of going to each of the separate units, to be honest with you. But I also feel announcing it at the big events would be great if you could invite them and have them stand so people can recognize, put a name with a face.
I definitely think that. I'm sorry.
Can I saw Michelle and then Bridget.
No, I was going to.
Okay, great. Thank you, Bridget. And again, sorry, just to interject too, I'm going to try and do a speaker's list because I feel like a lot of these things will have a lot of conversation as well. So, Bridget.
No, I have to say that I think that going to the individual units and the way that it's done now does give that opportunity for a lot of FaceTime. I've gone to several of them. I've had conversations with several people who are not being, you know, given the award, but they're there and it's their department and people ask questions, what's the EA all about, and all this stuff. And I think definitely announced it. As a matter of fact, I believe that the president has made note of the George Peter recipients in the past addresses, but I think that we could definitely make sure that happens.
And it reinforces the award, inviting them, you know, make sure that you show up at the president's address if you're able, because they'll be recognizing you at that point, too.
Great. Other thoughts? Great. So I'm going to get a sense here, too. I think it's kind of blending the two. So make sure that there is a localized event, so really recognize that person, have it be their kind of event, but doing a lot more kind of outreach for it as well too, so sharing it. And I think that's great, is not only to do a localized event, but inviting them to the senior leadership panel and say, there was a localized event for this person, we'd like to recognize them formally in front of this body as well too. Sounds like kind of a good blend of those things. Gina, and then Michelle.
I guess the only tweak to that, and this is again just for consideration, is that the award actually be given at the big event, and that recognition be local.
Thoughts from that one? I saw head shakes and why. Bridget?
Again, I think it's all about, like Michelle Mason said, when you're in the actual unit and your peers are seeing you being awarded this award, and actually a lot of them may have also been the ones that had put in the nomination. And so it's a whole group event. And that sometimes those small group events can really be quite big for a department or for a unit. Also, as the president stressed, as it is, we give the EA Appreciation Award. Yeah. And so I think that there has to be that balance between making sure that that award gets its own time and place and is a little bit separated from all these other awards.
Thank you. I saw Tanya.
So I think the other thing, just tying on to what Bridget said too, is that if we try to, so as an example, right now we have 3 George Peter Award winners. What if they're not available on the day that we pick for the president's address for the panel? What if the people who nominated them are not available? Well, all of those things. When we work with the units, we're saying, okay, when is Mary available? When is the EA chair available? When is the employee available? We invite their family. I mean, so often their children come, their spouses come, their UA dean or VP comes. I think to try and... Well, and we do it as a surprise. They don't know that they're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a complete surprise. So we try to get them to this panel, and I think it just takes away some of the element of real special to it. I think, you know, when we go and we present at the George Peter event, Greg is going to stand there as the chair of the employee assembly and say, you know, we've given this, we have 157, how many winners do we have? 157 winners of the George Peter Award, and our next one is standing here in this room, and we want to acknowledge them, and it's that moment. And Nancy's there, and the photographer's there, and we're capturing all that, and it's really very special. We are still bestowing the award on them. It's out in the paw print. You know, it's a bigger thing, and I think to kind of just make it
another award
at the president's thing, that people who may or may not know them, I think it diminishes it. That's my personal opinion.
Gina?
That's right.
Curtis.
I was just going to say, I really like you keeping it local. Maybe what I'm hearing, though, is that we develop a more concrete communication plan on how we recognize the George Peter. So, like, one of the ideas I'm just thinking that I really like that we had the slideshow at the beginning of the talk. So, like, maybe we have photos from the previous George Peter Award winner. Like, that'd be...
Yeah.
So I think what the idea is, and I mean, maybe I don't want to push this back to the committee, but I don't want to push it, is like developing a more concrete communication plan on how do we recognize the winners of the George Peter Award and communicate that to the greater community. And I can see a lot of added benefit for that.
I know.
Hazel, and then...
And a reminder of who George is, what he did for the university.
We talk about George.
Gina.
I think that Curtis has a great idea. And again, I'm coming at this from, so I've been here for about 9 years. The George Peter Award was never on my
radar.
I had no idea who won it, who didn't win it, what it meant. And it wasn't until it is a prestigious award. It is the most prestigious award that an employee can receive at this university. And we have 3 applicants, 3 nominees. This should be something that the whole employee community knows about, vies for. It's a big deal. It shouldn't, you know, it's a big deal right now. It's such a word. We're taking the smallest slice of the pie and making an individual feel really good, and that's important. But it's not to this body. We should be thinking much more broadly than that. I know individually,
it's important, and we're here because these are our colleagues and our peers. But if we think about, you're representing somebody. Everybody here has a constituent that they are here elected or representing. Think about how we can elevate this so that it does become this premier and prestigious award. Right now, it's very local.
Nancy and then Tanya.
I totally agree with the idea of leaving it local. I also understand the fact that it's not at that prestigious place. I think when George Peter was actually here and there was an actual body that was attached to it, that people knew more about it, and Mary Opperman would always refer to it as well as the Dean of Cochrane. I think part of the problem is that now we have an embarrassment of riches in terms of awards, and so it's like, okay, we have the most prestigious presidential award out of the other awards, and then we have the George Peter Award. It was like, you know, the language around each of them is not so much different that you could say, oh, well, this person really needs to have this award, and this person really needs to be targeted for this award. So I think there's some kind of working with HR and tightening up the language and maybe finding ways to promote staff recognition as a total.
Thank you. Tanya, and then you might have to...
So just lastly, I'll just pose the comment that Gina Hitzenelle had the communication piece and the visibility. The other awards, the new president award and the individual contributor and all of those awards, they get several hundred applicants. They have a dedicated communications person who is out there saturating the market with information about it. They have a flashy, lovely online submission process. All things that we do not have. We do not have in the assembly's office, you can get, you know, have some dedicated communication time, but Eric is certainly not full-time communication person for the EA. Mm-hmm. So I think if we want to raise our visibility and we want an embarrassment of riches in terms of applicants, we need to step up our game in communicating about it, which we don't do. You can't even hardly find it on the EA website.
It is, yeah.
You can't find it, so that's number one.
We're EA members, and we have our
time. And I have to date.
Yeah,
so.
So these are all things that we can look at working towards as well, too. But I think we are all on the same page about raising the prestige of this award back to, I think, what it was. And we can certainly take steps to do that all together as well, too. So I just want to keep moving down.
It may be a good topic for the next communications from the VA and
Yeah.
Could
you do a
fundraiser
on him?
Could you?
Yeah.
Great.
Maybe add in there who are some of the
past recipients
and maybe a little bit more than their name.
And I'll be upcoming for you.
Sure. I want to keep us moving on here as well, but again, feel free to send these to Eric offline as well, or sorry, out of meeting, online, that's what I want to say. All right, thanks everyone. So moving on, the resolution of appreciation, this is Tanya as well.
Sure, so based on our conversation at the last meeting, I did go back to the folks to ask that we put something forward on Bill Baldwin and explain that, you know, through our conversation, there were others there and involved. And that we were hesitant to name one without recognizing others, but also felt that we didn't want to name folks out of concern for getting to name someone. So I redrafted the resolution, which I don't know if you want to pull that up, EJ, or not. But essentially, I removed specific names and, you know, simply said, two people were with her, you know, holding her hand, praying, people directed traffic, people comforted the bus driver, kind of thing. So BJ can pull it up and share it. They're completely happy with us changing it, and they were very thankful that Hazel, you brought it
to attention that there were other people involved. And are hopeful that we would support this new resolution. And they were also very appreciative of the notion that we were willing to do a small gathering for the group. And I happened to see Marilyn, Mary's assistant, the other day, who said that Mary was well aware and that Mary would be happy to participate in a luncheon for the group.
I do that, sir. This is totally in my notes. So who's paying for that?
We would be paying for it.
Curtis is like budget.
It would be, we're looking at 5 or 6 people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, why did I just say 500 or 600? I'm like,
no.
I was like, sweet buddy.
We'll get it done.
We're all expected to quit.
That's
why I'm not.
Yeah, that's why we all like that.
That's why we're going to go back to pizzas.
But our retreat should be the wine tour.
Oh, wine tour.
So, sorry, folks, if someone reasons the decor's not turning on.
Did you print the new one that I did? Okay.
There's a typo that I noticed.
That's why you're here. So I will just reread what we've written now. In gratitude of our caring community, whereas Cornell University prides itself on having a caring community where faculty, staff, and students support each other at times of need, great and small, and take responsibility for looking out for one another very seriously. Whereas on January 26th, several members of our staff community stepped forward to show compassion to a fellow staff member, Angela Sedwell, who was involved in a tragic accident. Whereas two employees came together to stay with Angela, caring for her by placing a coat over her and to provide shelter from the elements, holding her hand and caring for her, not knowing if she could hear them. Other employees provided support by diverting traffic before the police and first responders could arrive and in comforting the bus driver. What our staff colleagues did is inspiration to all of us, a spur of the moment compassion displayed for a member of our community if they went above and beyond. BSO Resolve the Employee Assembly expresses appreciation and heartfelt gratitude for our staff colleagues for their thoughtful and kind-hearted support of a fellow staff member in a moment of great need. They show great compassion and truly exemplify what it means to be part of Cornell's caring community. And then, ideally, when we submit to the president, we would let him know of the employees' names and he could personally reach out to them as well. So,
I like, can I just ask a question? Is there a reason why we didn't want to do any, like, where the resolution just, like, directly recognizing the victim?
Recognizing what?
The victim.
I mean, I think it's really, really, really well written, but just.
Right. Whereas she was, in her time, the years she served here, and all of her involvement in the community, I think.
I mean, we can certainly add into that.
I mean, I don't know if I'm making it like.
No, I think we can certainly add into that second, whereas we can add, Andrew's years of service. And the unit and her commitment to the Cornell community kind of thing.
Our thoughts, like the whole community thoughts. I mean, I just feel like something just to recognize might be.
Sorry, I'm over here.
Sorry.
I have one thought on the resolution itself. Yeah. It does not either imply or anticipate that it was a fatal accident.
Yeah. Instead of tragic, maybe
fatal. Tragically fatal.
Yeah.
Something that would be, because that puts in a whole different category of these people with her at these last moments. Mm-hmm. And the other is whether you should do a resolution for Angela herself. And I think it's a lovely idea. I don't think it sets a precedent. We have a lot of very tragic, maybe not so public deaths amongst our colleagues and staff and employees here that if we want to recognize them, perhaps create a mechanism for that. And maybe it is a resolution, but I just put that forward, that this one happened to be very public, and it did affect staff in a way that is unusual, but there are a lot of untimely, unfortunate, and very sad deaths that occur that affect our colleagues, past colleagues, and people, so I just thought that up after your consideration.
Years ago, when a student was killed by TCAT bus by Rizley, mm-hmm. Is there anything recognized for that student? Was there?
There's a scholarship fund.
Yeah.
And their parents come back every 4 years and give a valedictorian speech.
Oh, really?
It's very touching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honey, do you want to perhaps edit, make those small edits? You can tighten this up for voting at the next meeting. Does that sound all right?
Sure.
Okay.
So are we, I guess I just want to get a feel from the group, add something in a little bit more specific about Angela, maybe how long she's been here. I mean, you can pull some blurb on that, and I'll get it around to folks to look at.
Great.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right.
Can
you move
me down? Tanya
again,
please. Sorry,
I was trying to. Tanya is old
business. Wow. Listen, Greg said he wanted 10 resolutions. I'm doing my best. I don't think that is the last one. That's not the last one. It's resolution 47, survey plan. So I made some edits kind of from some of the feedback that I got from Linda. Listing HRIS, HR Safety Services as the sponsor of the survey or the study. I added in there, line 16 in there, that the director of IRP should meet with us 6 months prior to the plan survey so that we can review the questions so we have an opportunity to have some sort of safer investment in there. And then,
I
think it's just the idea.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Lower the light.
So I think, and you would see this in here, but I think one of the comments that you, Lissy's, made was a really good one, but I'm not sure how we would write that in. So I'm asking you to prepare. And that has to do with kind of the oversight committee and the, and then the notion of the, the oversight committee and Mary being the one who appoints the committee, and that we should have more investment in that decision making. And I wanted to kind of get a sense from others about how they felt about that. I like that idea. My concern is I don't know that this body knows enough of the right players who can make decisions necessarily to find the most effective committee. So I worry that it's kind of a double-edged sword. So maybe if there's some, you know, we can make recommendations to what the committee should be, but it's a partnership with Mary rather than her making the decision and partner or for the new one.
Curtis, and then again, please raise your hands as we make a speaker list.
I was going to say, I like that idea with some, but maybe it could just be with consultation with the executive board of the EA. Just adding that word.
Should we have a meeting with Mary Opperman before we make this resolution, just to see if there's a different consulting firm or something who's they're planning on having do the employee survey?
I think
are we sticking with the same one?
Well, it's an in-house.
Okay.
It's not, so I can't imagine that.
Because I knew that this one was going to be easier than the first one.
No, IRP is the first one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And this is up in box, so if anyone wants to take a look with more of a fine-tooth comb and offer other suggestions or comments. I don't think we have enough people to put on anything to say.
So if no more comments, again, this is uploaded in box. There's a whole folder in there called resolutions, all the same resolutions we have as they're progressing are in there. We're kind of going to go over to the dashboard as well, too, but they uploaded there in the meantime. So please take a look at this, and then hopefully the next meeting or so we'll have four of you. Any other comments on the resolution? Great. Okay, moving down the list.
This is kind of another thing that came out of Stephen Holt. Leslie Meyerhoff was there. People remember Leslie from her time in the PA. But Leslie had, I guess, brought an issue to the exec committee's attention, and then email kind of floated around about the interest in us partnering with her or sponsoring a resolution, acknowledging that Slope Day, while yes, primarily for the students, there's also a lot of campus community and greater community, people who participate, and that sometimes the music can be very offensive and inappropriate, and that, would we be willing to sponsor a resolution in support of saying yes, that you recognize that not everybody has the same appreciation of inappropriate.
So that statement that Leslie sent to me is here. It's just a little
So does anyone know how the band gets chosen at the present time?
There's a committee.
There's a committee.
But they do a general campus vote on the genre, mm-hmm. and then from the genre, the student committee selects what they get based upon their budget.
Is that
it?
So my understanding, and I think that's what they're trying to flesh out now. Leslie was wondering if there could be some kind of either a resolution or statement that we could put forth, just saying, as we choose to select the performer for Slope Day, take the whole campus into consideration, be respectful of other people and their musical choices, and kind of their sensibilities too. So she provided this statement to me, and again, I mentioned bringing up an EA, seeing if there'd be a subject person who could work on a resolution on it with her or the actions. But this was the statement she sent to me that she would like to see as a potential public statement as well. Curtis.
I personally agree that the artist last year had some problematic statements, mm-hmm. but also I think that one of the joys of working in a higher education is valuing this idea of free speech and letting artists express themselves how they feel. And so I feel like putting out a statement like this can be counterintuitive to what our goals and our missions are of an institution. Because I think these are performers, these are acts, these are their creative process, and while I might not necessarily agree with it, I can see, is it for me and my right to deem what is appropriate for our community? And I think that's just getting down to a slippery slope.
Yeah, and it's a committee, right? The students, they choose it. It's not one individual who happens to just pick Willy Willy this artist. I would assume that they go through and understand what the artist is going to present. So if they chose that, I mean, obviously, realistically, yes, it would be nice to take some sort of commission, but it is a university. If they want to choose out of majority vote to have an artist perform, when they know the artist performs usually that way, then that was their choice.
It's the students.
Bridget, and then Michelle.
My other concern with this, I fully agree with what Curtis said, that but my other thing is if we start putting down or making a statement like this, what one person finds offensive and what another person finds offensive are two totally different things. You're never going to satisfy everybody. Everybody's always going to be offensive with some type of music. I mean, you're not going to find a happy medium, I don't think.
Sure. I will say, the basic line at the bottom, one type, and again, I don't want to speak for Leslie, but when I read it as well, it's just encouraging them to select artists and other events whose acts are welcoming and respectful. So it's not necessarily, you know, saying you have to pick X, Y, and Z genres. I think it's just encouraging to think about and be mindful of who they select. So like that too. Michelle?
I think this is the students' day, and it's up to them. They're the ones who have paid the tuition and done their committees to choose their day. It's their celebration of their last class day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And employees can choose to celebrate the last day of classes their own way, but the students are done and then going on to finals. But I think it's up to the students.
Thank you. Janet,
I don't know how many do alumni come to this, how many parents come to this.
Oh, yeah. Alumni come.
It is alumni or they have that type of thing. And a general statement is you have to be a bit careful about things, but it's mostly students and okay, it's a good
thing. And generally,
but the parents are paying, kids aren't paying for school, so the parents are paying.
At least
so need to be respectful of our alumni or others who are in the top.
Thanks, Tanya.
So the other thing and I'm a little bit ambivalent, but the only thing I want us to think about is a huge part of making Slope Day possible is the staff where they're volunteering to help. And if you start getting staff who are offended, then you have a hard time getting them there to help, and Slope Day becomes a problem. The reason why I wanted to bring it up is because Leslie's looking for a sponsor, but if the EA doesn't feel like this is our argument to push forward, then there's no point in going through the effort of putting together a resolution that will not pass. So that is my question to this committee. Is this something that we want to pursue or not?
Here's a little bit, Chris.
I don't feel it's something that we should get involved in. I think it's a student activity. And as you said, employees volunteer, but the information comes out ahead of time of who the performers are going to be, and you know, if you know their background, then you don't have to volunteer. That's just my point.
Chris, and then Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see us really needing to get involved because I think there's already a lot of policies in place. And, like, there's a part of the code, you know, when people are supposed to do, like, they can get nude on the stage because that's going to violate our code and things like that. So I just think this language piece. And then what's respectful, I think that's one of those real problematic words I have. Like, one person defines respect can be very different for somebody else. And then what is welcoming, I think sometimes people, the whole point is to be controversial. I mean, we've seen that on our campus a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris. Gina.
Process-wise, the question that Tanya just posed is, does this body feel like it's something to take up? Your tagline is every staff member has a voice. Leslie brings us forward. This is important to her. So a staff member has brought forth something that is important. And again, I think the fuzzy lines about who represents whom, who's your constituency, she should know who her actual EA representative is, because that person has an obligation then to bring it forward as a formal resolution. Even if this gets formalized and voted down, it is on the public record as being an important matter to an individual here. And it may be that it's more broad than that. Leslie, as an individual, I think, you know, Curtis, I think you're quite right. There is such a interpretive differences here, but it's the responsibility of the individual assembly members to represent their constituents. So on that basis, I would encourage somebody to reach back to Leslie and find a way to bring that formally, because that elevates it again to the proper levels. That's what this body is meant to do, not for 18 people to figure it out, but have a formal resolution and then vote on it accordingly. And again, I think the overall sentiment of the room is that it probably would never pass, but it will go on the public record as being good.
I'm gonna close up. Yep, with Bridget, that's okay.
Just to clarify your point, so when someone brings something to concern, you're saying that you feel that the EA should always draft a resolution and see if it passes or not.
I think that it has to do with this, the representation issue that we're trying to, that Curtis's committee is trying to clarify. If you represented Leslie because she's a X, Y, and Z employee, and she brought forth this concern, you would have worked together to draft it. It may not even come to conversation here, but you could do it. So it could be a draft resolution. It could be something that procedurally, I think there's, yes, the process would encourage you to bring forth resolutions that we, 10 is a very, is a random number, but it's also a very low number for actions of an assembly. So I would encourage you to really gather around these things and let the discussion happen over a resolution, not because a conversation happened at
So I would agree with Gina as well too. I think we're really trying to say this is a great conversation, but this conversation is in our minutes, yes, but it's not just something that we like draft out, send out to say this voice came forward. This
so I think I would just lastly say to that, if we're going to do that, bring every employee concern forward to resolution, we should have brought something together on resolution every time. So I think that needs to be to say, okay, where does it rise to resolution versus where does it come as a conversation? And then we're saying that, you know, I just think we have to be careful if one employee comes forward and says, I have a concern that there's no healthy snack vending machine in my building, are we going to do a resolution on that? Now, if 10 people from 10 different buildings come forward with that, then I think that we rise it up. But if we don't have, if we're not feeling that this is something that's within our purview, how do we move that forward?
Well, how do you move as the assembly member is my question.
Right. So I, the assembly member, you know, say Leslie is my person. She comes to me. I bring it to this body for conversation. In my opinion, I bring this to the body for conversation, and we start saying, okay, is this our issue to tackle? If we feel it's our issue to tackle, then we move it up. We move it up to the next day's resolution. With Catherine, a little while ago, we talked about the plantations and saying, have you explored this avenue? Have you explored that avenue?
Yeah.
I don't think that we clearly came out of it saying, yeah, we're writing a resolution. I don't know if we did that or not.
And I would imagine that the wording of plantation and a whole racist or non-racist approach in our community is probably a little bit more heavy than a few individuals being insulted or, unhappy about some singer. So her case of a resolution would probably be much more weightier than, let's write a resolution for the unappealing music. Not that we don't have to repose.
Yep. So I see Eric's hand. So again, as we just had this discussion, I want to be cognizant of time. And so I will say that this discussion sounds like why we're trying to figure out the election task force and figure out these processes as well.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get too lost in that. But Eric, and then
I partially agree with Gina that we should have some kind of, we're going to represent, we need to represent. And I understand, like, you know, there is points in the rebuttal that you can pick and choose, but I think that maybe part of a compromise would be if we aren't going to put forth a resolution, we should have an official response sent back to that person.
Yeah.
So that they still feel that they have representation. So, so I mean, even if there isn't a resolution, we need that back and forth.
Absolutely.
And with a clear reason why.
Yeah.
Just really quickly about that election task force, we still need one more member. So if anybody's free and burning questions of who you want to represent, please join our task force.
I will join you for this.
Thank you, Bridget.
Yay. Hopefully I won't get tired. I'm in too much more time out of the office.
No, this is not going to be a lot of out of the office, I can assure you.
Great. And it's going to be wine, right?
Yeah, budget
wine?
So to kind of pull us back here, Hazel, I'm sorry, with these two things, with the time that we have, I don't want to get started on something and kind of...
No, sorry, that was good.
We'll have it on your docket for the next available slot. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I would call for, with just a few minutes remaining and no other, like, 2-minute items.
I have a 2-minute item.
Okay.
No, I just want to tell folks, because we say we don't hear about things, but Cornell is starting a pilot program for community shared agriculture, so CSAs, if anybody does them. There's going to be 2 pickup locations on campus.
Oh, wow.
Starting in April. One at the Vet College and one at the East Hill office building.
Well, that's an old campus.
Can I have a call? Is there a call for training?
Yeah, second.
So Curtis, thank you. Well, during the meeting,
wow.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.